This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, December 12th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, Rob Cantor has some book suggestions for the holidays in this week's Environmental Almanac. We'll also get a forecast for the weekend with AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. If he becomes the next governor, Pat Quinn says he would reverse some of Rod Blagojevich's actions, among them reopening state parks and historic sites that were shut down earlier this month. Blagojevich closed them for what he termed budgetary reasons, but Quinn says the facilities are too important to the public and should be open to visitors. The lieutenant governor also says he'd look into Blagojevich's plans to close the Pontiac prison and move state transportation jobs from Springfield to southern Illinois before proceeding with either plan.
Everything needs to be reviewed, you know, everything.
Quinn says he would also live at the governor's mansion in Springfield. Blagojevich has rarely stayed at the house, instead using state transportation and typically the state plane to make trips between the Capitol and his Chicago home. Blagojevich faces several charges in a complaint leading up to his arrest this week. According to a published report this morning, businessmen with ties to both Governor Blagojevich and Representative Jesse Jackson Jr. discussed raising $1 million for Blagojevich as a way of persuading him to appoint Jackson to President-elect Barack Obama's vacant Senate seat. Citing unnamed sources, the Chicago Tribune reports that businessman Raghavir Nayak and Blagojevich aide Rajinder Bedi told attendees at an October 31st meeting that they needed to raise $1 million for the governor to make sure Jackson was appointed to the Senate. Nayak is a Blagojevich supporter who is also close to the Jackson family. Bedi also has been a Blagojevich fundraiser. Jackson's attorney said while Jackson discussed the Senate seat with Nayak, he never asked him to do anything. A U of I law professor says not to expect any quick legal resolution in the Governor Blagojevich case. Andrew Leopold says the governor is unlikely to back down, challenging the government's case at every turn. But he says the case is made more complex as both the governor and Chief of Staff John Harris face charges. Leopold says if the case looks overwhelming against one or the other, the case could wrap up sooner. He notes one alleged co-conspirator could turn against the other person. But Leopold also says proving corruption cases is a little tougher, noting one of its primary allegations is to deprive Illinois citizens of honest services.
It's not like taking somebody's money, right, where you can say, well, you took $100 from me. This is depriving something to which we're surely entitled, and federal law says that part of the scheme to defraud can be to deprive people of honest services. But it's a much more intangible thing that the governor and his chief of staff allegedly deprived of us of than he stole $100.
While lawmakers are exploring impeachment proceedings against the governor, Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan suggests turning to the Illinois Supreme Court to declare Blagojevich unfit to serve in office. Leopold calls that an option definitely worth pursuing, but he says he's not familiar enough with the provision in Illinois' Constitution to comment on it. One of Champaign's largest manufacturing operations will close by next fall. ACH Food Company says it will no longer need the production capacity of its plant on Mattis Avenue, which has been processing soybean and other oil since 1958. It was originally known as Humco. About 250 people will be let go from the Champaign plant. Another ACH plant in Jacksonville, Illinois, will also close, with about 230 employees losing jobs there. Deborah Murdoch is ACH's vice president for human resources. She says when ACH and Archer Daniels Midland formed a joint venture called Stratus Foods earlier this year, Stratus acquired 4 oil processing plants, and Murdoch says that's apparently all the new company needs.
Stratus will no longer need production after a transition period of 6 to 9 months because they are moving production into the 4 facilities that Stratus owns that also produce the same products.
Stratus was the ACH plant's biggest customer. Murdoch says the company is working with the Teamsters local in Champaign on a closing schedule and an outplacement package for workers. 15th District Congressman Tim Johnson says not much would have changed his mind about voting against financial assistance for the struggling auto industry. Johnson says the bill that passed the House this week but failed in the Senate overnight includes no requirements for automakers to change their management or their business plans. But even if it did, Johnson says he's philosophically against giving out federal money to bail out sinking private sector companies, even if the alternative is bankruptcy. Johnson says the $700 billion financial industry bailout created a wave of similar requests, including one to help struggling recreational vehicle makers in Indiana.
Next, we have the RV industry. Next, we have fast food restaurants. Next, we have newspapers or radio stations. I don't know where you draw the limit. After a while, every time you have a potentially failing business that's going to affect employment or arguably affect employment, is the answer to go in and prop them up?
Johnson's fellow Republicans John Shimkus and Jerry Weller also voted against the auto industry rescue package in the House. Democrat Phil Hare and Republican Ray LaHood voted in favor. A meeting at a Champaign church basement last night brought together African-American high school students, parents, educators, and others to talk about ways to improve local schools and boost student achievement. AM580's Jim Meadows has more.
The meeting was organized by the Champaign County Mental Health Center's Peer Ambassadors Program. Its members include 19-year-old Rosalind Johnson, who attends Urbana Adult Education. She says one of the discussions at the meeting focused on young people's own ideas about how they could help improve the school experience.
Like peer-to-peer contact with each other, make sure each other are on our grades, to try to stay in school more, like with our attendance-wise and not getting sent out of class-wise.
Sitting in on that discussion was Champaign Unit 4 Assistant Superintendent Michael McFarland. He says the discussion reinforced themes he's heard elsewhere in the community, that schools should be a safe place where students are treated fairly and gain real preparation for college and career.
So there was a lot of good information that I can use when I go back and talk with teachers and administrators about things that we can do within our schools.
Peer Ambassador Supervisor Karen Sims says they'll distribute an action plan drawn from last night's meeting in hopes of stimulating further discussion on improving Champaign-Urbana schools. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. In this week's Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor gets a little help from some friends to offer book recommendations.
As I put together Environmental Almanac from week to week, I have the opportunity to interact with many thoughtful, generous people who are motivated by a wide range of environmental interests. For this week's segment, I asked some of them for thoughts on a list of books that listeners might want to give as gifts or add to their own reading lists. Judy Miller, Environmental Program Manager with the Urbana Park District, suggested two books that highlight a child's perspective: Winnie the Pooh by A.A. Milne, because it is just plain fun to read and the perfect example of how a 4-year-old thinks and interacts with nature, and A Sense of Wonder by Rachel Carson, which Miller says reminds us what it is like to be a child experiencing nature for the first time. Robert McKim, philosopher and head of the U of I Department of Religion, recommended Daniel Quinn's 1992 novel, Ishmael. McKim calls Ishmael challenging, thought-provoking, wise, not at all heavy-handed, and a really enjoyable read. Jamie Ellis, a botanist with the Illinois Natural History Survey and board president of Grand Prairie Friends, suggested a work of nonfiction called Heart's Blood: Hunting, Spirituality, and Wildness in America. This book, by David Peterson, takes a critical look at hunting today. The staff at Prairie Rivers Network collaborated to recommend The Secret Knowledge of Water: Discovering the Essence of the American Desert by Craig Childs, which they describe as an adventurous and poetic journal of a backcountry guide's treks through the water-shaped desert. They also suggested Staying Put, Settling Down in a Restless World by Indiana writer Scott Russell Sanders, which is concerned with the importance of putting down roots and of attachments to specific places. Chris Phillips, a herpetologist with the Illinois Natural History Survey and a U of I faculty affiliate, suggested two books about the work of biologists in the field: Mean and Lowly Things, Snakes, Science, and Survival in the Congo by contemporary herpetologist Kate Jackson, and Into the Jungle, which chronicles the adventures of earlier naturalists whose work helped to shape our understanding of evolution. Cynthia Hoyle, transportation planning consultant with the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District, recommended Eden's Lost and Found: How Ordinary Citizens Are Restoring Our Great American Cities by Harry Weiland and Dale Bell. This book, which is a companion to a PBS series available on DVD, tells the inspiring stories of how ordinary people have worked together to heal the earth and bring hope and opportunity to our inner cities by uncovering and restoring the beauty of nature. May Barenbaum, head of the U of I Department of Entomology and a leader in the ongoing international effort to understand dramatic declines in honeybees, recommended a new book on that topic by Rowan Jacobson called Fruitless Fall: The Collapse of the Honeybee and the Coming Agricultural Crisis. Finally, if you could use a break from shopping or reading, you might want to check out a new film called Hotspots, which will air on public television next week. This film provides a global perspective on the current wave of extinction, so it won't be a pick-me-up, but it does promise a view that includes hope for the future.
Rob Cantor is a writer with the University of Illinois Environmental Council. To find out more about Environmental Almanac or to listen to it again, follow the links on our website at will.illinois.edu. And you can read Environmental Almanac on Sundays in the News Gazette. Support for Environmental Almanac is provided by the U of I Office of the Provost. Weather forecast for the weekend from meteorologist Ed Kieser begins with cloudy skies early today, followed by some sunshine late. Mostly cloudy with a few light snow showers and flurries during the morning in Champaign-Urbana, then becoming partly to mostly sunny. It'll be sunny in northwest Illinois all day, and in eastern Indiana, cloudy with scattered snow showers. But the light snow showers early, then sunshine, seems to be the forecast for the rest of the two-state area. Highs today will range from 16 in far northern Illinois to 40 far south, 27 in Champaign-Urbana. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy across Illinois and Indiana. Lows ranging from 14 in northern Illinois to 28 far south, partly cloudy and 18 in Champaign-Urbana tonight. Then tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun, windy and milder, 45 in Champaign-Urbana, 35 the high in northeast Indiana, up to as much as 50 in southwest Illinois. Saturday night, mostly cloudy and windy, a chance of some showers and a low of 38. Cloudy, windy, and mild Sunday with occasional showers, the high up to 50 degrees. And periods of rain Sunday night, moving into a cooler Monday with some rain and snow showers and a high of 36. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, December 12th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.